So as I was saying, I feel like this is an important thing to do well. So this is almost less of a talk and more, I hope, of an introduction and an invitation to be freer in moving in the prophetic and everything that that means. The prophetic is such a broad category of things, but I think broadly it's hearing from God, and it's hearing through His Spirit what God is saying. So this takes all sorts of forms. If you look back at the Old Testament, it looks like critiques of society at large, and it can be quite challenging and harsh at times in that context. It can come to a church context, and we stand up and we share encouraging words for the corporate body, for the church at large, and for the society we live in. But it also can be in the form of individual words for people that we can deliver in all sorts of different formats, in words, in pictures. I don't want to put too many limits on it, because it's such a broad thing. But I'm hoping that in sharing the stuff that I have here, that it will bring greater freedom and life in all forms. Because I really feel like the prophetic is such an important and good thing for building us up and hearing from God and releasing life amongst us. I've broadly taken from a guy I heard a couple of weeks ago chatting about this stuff, and it just struck me that it was really helpful, really practical, really good. So here we go. Thank you, Emma. So this guy's a prophet. In some circles, they say the larger your beard, the better prophet you are. But I'm going to say that. So Tom right here is probably a good man to go to. But I'm going to say that's not true. Sorry, Tom. So even if, for any of you that were here last week, there was a fabric, there was a piece of river. ostensibly, it was just a piece of blue fabric. It was laid across the back of the room, and we were encouraged to go and stand in it. And part of you, some of you may have been thinking, oh, this is kind of silly. Like, this is, we're like pretending for this to be a river. But actually, that's the power of the prophetic. That river became a vehicle for life, and just a prophetic act for stepping into new life, and just a vehicle and a prop we could use to facilitate that. And again, Denise brought nets along. Nets are kind of useless in this context, in the natural, but they formed like a great tool, and they were part of a prophetic act of releasing life. So yeah, as I said, I believe in the inherent transformational and life-giving power of words from God. And this is not meant to be limiting or prohibitive or even comprehensive. But yeah, this should hopefully provide us some freedom. So if your starting point here is that you have doubt around whether God genuinely speaks to us, keep listening. this is why I want for this to be interactive and for us to step up into it. And hopefully I'm hoping you'll come to experience the life-giving power of prophetic words. Some of us might have a fear of rejection, that we'll get it wrong, that we're scared to step out and speak in that way. And some of us may have been hurt in the past by individual prophetic words that we've received from people. But most of us here, I'm fairly confident, have also received like the massive life-giving power of a prophetic word from God. So the practical stuff is important, because it dictates what we take to heart. And if we're carrying... We shouldn't be carrying stuff around in our hearts that isn't meant for us, When you take on a prophetic word, it goes deep into your heart, and if it's not the right, if it's not the right thing, then it can be really damaging. But if it's the right thing, if it's the right word, and it's from God, then it has massive transformational power. In order for us to function as a vibrant, life-giving, prophetic body, we have to have healthy ways of engaging with this stuff as a community and a church in healthy relationships. And we've already seen this morning, like, some of the forms that prophetic words have come in, and people have shared pictures they've had in prayer for individual people and at the front already. So number one, the starting point for this is a belief in the prophethood of all believers. This is really important. So it doesn't mean that everyone has, if you've heard this stuff before and you've read a little bit around it, it doesn't mean that everyone has to be in the office of a prophet, but all prophesy. That's fairly clear in scripture. And I take seriously when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So I'm confident that we can all hear the voice of God, that we can all hear from Jesus, that we can all hear from, via the Spirit, we hear from the Father. And also, as part of this, we take seriously the fact that the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. It's talked about, it's prophesied in Joel and in Acts 2. It says that all men and women, adults and children, the privileged, the lowly, the slave, the free, the Spirit has been poured out on all of us. So the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. So we all prophesy. We all hear from God. That's good, right?
Yes.
It's a good thing. And in Jeremiah 33, I think God meant it when he said, call on me and I will answer you. So yeah, in all of these things, we can have confidence that all of us as a body and each of us individually can expect to hear from God, and that what we hear, we should be taking seriously and we should expect to take seriously. Okay. So yeah, number two. This is a 4-point message, it's good. Yeah. Yeah. So that should also give you hope that this isn't going to go on for hours and hours. No, not yet. So number two, I believe that prophetic messages can be shared without hurting people. Are there any people that that are in agreement with that? Now, as a starting point, I want to say that love is far more important than prophecy, but the two are meant to work together. We shouldn't prophesy without love. In fact, we can't do it properly. We can't do it without love. Love is the foundation, it's the underlying basis of a prophetic community. It has to be, in order for it to be life-giving and true and good. So everything, the basis of everything, of all that we do as a prophetic community, has to be cloaked in love. God's love has to be the abiding rule of any prophetic community. So it has to baptize both the content and the tone of everything that we share with each other, everything that we deliver. In 1 Corinthians 13 it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I have nothing. So yeah, I love that whole chapter. I think it's amazing. It's the power of love. So, yeah. So God's love should bathe our community in humility. And here are some suggestions of what that looks like. Again, this is guidance. It's not a hard and fast rule, but I'm going to say it sounds like helpful advice to me. That it's probably not a good idea to introduce yourself as a prophet. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule, but generally speaking, I think a good rule is to let the fruit of your words speak for themselves, and let others kind of see the fruit of that. The second thing is to encourage anyone that you share a prophecy with, in whatever form that comes in, to weigh it for themselves. This is really important. So, this isn't a hard and fast rule, but sometimes if we come to people and we declare something as the word of the Lord, it doesn't always give someone permission to weigh it and test it for themselves. It makes it difficult for them to discern. So, in the spirit of humility, when we come and we offer words to people, I think we should allow each other space to test and discern it. Third thing is that once we've shared a prophetic message, we can let it go. As long as we've shared it in humility, it's no longer our responsibility. So it belongs to the person you shared it with, and God, unless you feel prompted to pray for it for a time. Because love doesn't pick up on the offence of rejection. If whoever's receiving the word, if it's corporately or individually, if people don't act on it as we think they should have done, like, we shouldn't take it as a rejection or take offence at it. God's love discerns which prophetic words are meant for prayer and which are to be shared. So sometimes I think, and I've experienced this, where we feel we hear a word from the Lord, and there's kind of a process that goes on. Where sometimes we can be trying to figure out, like, what we're meant to do with it. Just ask and see what you hear. Wait for what you hear. Because sometimes I think words are to be shared with people directly. Sometimes they can be to be shared corporately. Other times they can just be for us to pray for. We don't have to. If we receive something, we don't immediately have to blurt it out. We should sort of be asking for what the best place and the best time to be using what we've heard is. As we're told, yeah, I think Paul talks about the spirit of the prophet being subject to the prophet, which means that we're kind of as the channels for prophecy, for prophetic words and pictures and acts, we're kind of responsible for stewarding them in that way. So that is a very real responsibility on our part. Okay. Number three. We are getting here. We're required to weigh carefully what we hear. So I think within this there should be an inherent confidence. Well, Jesus had confidence that we would learn to distinguish the shepherd's voice from other voices as it becomes familiar to us. So we're going to make mistakes as we learn. That's true. But if Jesus has confidence that we can learn to hear and distinguish his voice, then we should also have confidence that we can hear from him in that way. So yeah, we honour the biblical call to weigh prophecy carefully and to test it rather than despise it. Okay. And as part of this, it's really important for us to, when we receive a word from God, to take it to heart. Otherwise, it's useless to us. If we just kind of sort of lay it down and don't do anything with it, it's not worth anything. So it's important for us to take it to heart, but only after we've tested it. So the first thing is to do this primarily by relationship. So if someone is delivering a word of prophecy to you, the first thing to ask is, like, does this person have a relationship with me, with the journey as a church, with the wider church, and with God? And this isn't to say that, like, we don't receive words from people we don't know. Of course we do. We receive amazing things from people we don't know. But just asking simple questions like, do I know that this person loves God? Do I know that this person loves me? That's a pretty good start in terms of figuring out whether it's a good thing to be receiving and taking on board. We can't control which words come our way, but we can control the way that we test them. Okay. So the next process is to weigh the prophecy. And how do we do this? I hear you asking. With a three-legged stool. With the first leg of this tiny stool, does this message or this word or this picture that's being given to me, does Scripture confirm this message? Like, can I find a scriptural basis for this? Like, is it good? Is it rooted in? Is it rooted in the Bible? Is it rooted in the Scripture? The second one is: does the body of Christ, does the church around me, does my church community and the people that I interact with, in my small group and the people around me, is it confirmed by what they say and what they're sharing and their values? And the third thing is, does the Spirit within me, does it confirm this message? And I think if it lines up with all of those things, we can be pretty confident that, like, God has spoken to us, and that we can be prepared to take it into our hearts. So in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that prophecies are to be strengthening, comforting, or encouraging. God's messages bring hope. The Father's words usually bring the love, joy, and peace of God's Spirit. They promote mercy, justice, and spirit. They speak of love for God and compassion for people. Now, sometimes, occasionally, prophetic words can be challenging, and they can cause into some, like, change of heart or behaviour, but they should never, ever contain any condemnation. They should never, ever be... They should never be condemnatory. And if you get a word if you're given a word that's challenging, and it seems harsh, don't be quick to take that on board, because maybe that it doesn't belong to you. So if you do receive something like that, find people that you trust to weigh it with you. Share it with someone in a pastoral position, in a small group setting, with someone from the leadership team here if you want. Find someone that you trust to share it with, because you shouldn't be carrying it if it's not for you. And this applies to corporate words as well, for us as a church and as a body. Like, the same process applies. And once we're kind of together, as we become comfortable in this discernment process and this testing, and we recognise that it's a good thing, and the reason that we're doing it is because we want to hear the goodness and the love and the life that God's word brings. Like this discernment process is just like, it becomes like quick and easy, and amongst ourselves, like we barely even notice it. But it's just so that we can be, it's to bring freedom and just an increase in the prophetic and what that, the life that that can release amongst us. So I have one last slide. This comes from a Wikipedia page called How to Throw a Spear. Now, for anyone that knows anything about physics or has ever even thrown a spear, as you do, you'll know that like a spearhead on its own, let's say for the sake of argument that the spearhead is the word, or like the prophetic word, you're going to have trouble like driving that into anything, or like maybe you could, but like it's kind of a little, you're not going to get very much inertia behind it. But with the shaft on the end of it, that's where the power comes. That's where the power comes to drive a word deep. Does that make sense? So let's say that the shaft is the permission, and that that's the permission, and that's God kind of being able to drive a word deep into our hearts. Is that a helpful picture in any way? I thought it was helpful for me. Okay, number four. This is four of four, remember. And this is a very short one. I believe that prophetic messages, words, pictures, actions are meant to be shared. So I want to encourage all of us to actively seek God's voice and generously share what he's telling us. So together, I want to say, let's always be looking for new avenues and new spaces and new ways of sharing and receiving in the prophetic in all of its different forms, because they're good. And as I've already said, but I want to keep saying, they bring life. And when we hear from God, it's a good thing. And it has the power to transform. God's word has the power to transform situations. It has the power to call into being, to make reality where things aren't a reality. It can physically call into being. So situations, environments, workspaces, living spaces, governments, communities can be transformed by the word of God. So we should be taking so seriously what it means to carry it. And I think as we learn, as so many of us already do, as we learn to operate in the prophetic, it then becomes something that we can bring into new spaces, that we can share, that we can use to call people out who don't know God in any shape or form. We can use it to call them out and call them into a loving embrace and into the Father's arms.